250409 at 10:22. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Edmund Burke gave us a beautiful quote that states, "All that is required for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing." In a school system which grades from 0 to 4, 4 being an absolutely perfect score, and 0 being a failure, if one desires to be on the path of infinite progression, which strives for concrete being, then one needs to realize at the onset that everything is possible to God. Mary Baker Eddy was the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, or otherwise recognized as the system of divine metaphysics, then one will accept some very important and basic foundation for how to begin. If one begins to study mathematics, they know that there are 10 digits and there are 4 operators, 0 to 9, and add, subtract, multiply, and divide. All mathematics is based on those basic elements. Obviously, there's much more to think about if one is going to advance in mathematics beyond just the basics. For example, exponents and roots come into play, and many other things. There are rules that must be complied with in order to obtain the correct answer. Music also has its basic elements of the 8 notes from A to G and the sharps and flats, which are 5 in number. A lot of other factors which enable one to have harmony when they are composing music. A and C played together are harmonious, but A, B, and C are not. Even A and B played together are not. The same with chemistry and physics. There are certain rules that must be complied with in order to have harmony in the result. The most pure science of all is the science of divine metaphysics. One of the basics that one needs to strive to understand is, what is God? And what is the manifestation of God? There are 18 chapters in the book that is entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. the first 13 chapters give a lot of details about Christian Science. The 14th chapter is a recapitulation of the first 13 chapters. And 14 is the end of Science and Health. The key to the scriptures begins immediately following, and the first chapter of that is entitled Genesis, covering a complete spiritual translation of the book of Genesis. Following that is Revelation. That is the book that was dictated by Jesus to John, who came back to the island of Patmos in the flesh after ascending. John was the only one that was conscious enough of what Jesus represented and therefore was the only disciple to attend the crucifixion. That attendance supported the one man that began the movement of Christianity, Christ Jesus. In order to understand any book thoroughly, one needs to understand the language. And the next chapter, 17, is entitled The Glossary. And that gives us some very key definitions, 144 to be exact, if one understands how to count them. And Rolf Witzke, the most advanced individual to present the system of Christian Science that Mary Baker Eddy had hidden in the pages of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, explains in detail that information about the glossary. The final chapter is 18, entitled Fruitage. Mary Baker Eddy states this in the first two paragraphs of that chapter. Thousands of letters could be presented in testimony of the healing efficacy of Christian Science, and particularly concerning the vast number of people who have been reformed and healed through the perusal or study of this book. For the assurance and encouragement of the reader, a few of these letters are here republished from the Christian Science Journal and Christian Science Sentinel. The originals are in the possession of the editor, who can authenticate the testimonials which follow. So there are 85 testimonials which cover 486 healings for an average of just under 7 healings registered under each name, providing the listener this short summary enables one to better understand how one should proceed. We do give very detailed, complete instructions on the recommendations of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. If those instructions are followed, we are sure that you will find that every need is met, which covers every label that has been assigned to the claim. embarking upon the primary theme of this recording, which is evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Let us begin with the definition of God. This is included in the chapter recapitulation. It is very interesting to note that this is the first topic in the recapitulation chapter. So that's guiding us that this is where we must always begin. What is God? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. In the glossary, page 578, she covers the same seven synonymous terms, but emphasizes a few of the components. God is the great I Am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. The definition of good on that same page, 587, is God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. Omniscience includes omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. But in this particular definition, she has already stated intelligence as being the very last word. So that could be one way of saying this is the first thing you should remember. And of course, intelligence is a function of mind, and mind is classified as the cause, the only cause. It's the first. On page 591 is the definition of man. The compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full representation of mind. On that same page, she defines mind as the only I or us, the only spirit, soul, divine principle, substance, life, truth, love, the one God, not that which is in man, but the divine principle or God of whom man is the full and perfect expression. Deity, which outlines but is not outlined. On page 584 is this definition of devil. Evil, a lie, error, neither corporeality nor mind. The opposite of truth, a belief in sin, sickness, and death. animal magnetism or hypnotism, the lust of the flesh, which saith, I am life and intelligence in matter. There is more than one mind, for I am mind, a wicked mind, self-made or created by a tribal god and put into the opposite of mind, termed matter. Thence to reproduce a mortal universe, including man, not after the image and likeness of spirit, but after its own image. Mortal mind is defined by Mary Baker Eddy as being an oxymoron. In other words, it is defined as opposites with itself. It's a constant loop of opposites, mortal and mind, because the real mind is immortal. Jumping back to the recapitulation chapter on page 468, she provides the words for the scientific statement of being. She says, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. On page 450, she provides this additional information. Knowing the claim of animal magnetism that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life, who will deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? In Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, it states, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. This confirms that man is not matter. He is not made up of brain, blood, bones, and other material elements. Scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Matter is not that likeness. The likeness of spirit cannot be so unlike spirit. Man is spiritual and perfect, and because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be understood in Christian Science. Habakkuk tells us that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. In Science and Health, on page 146, Mary Baker Eddy states the following. Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she states the following. When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. And there's 11 pages from 330 to 341 of those 32 topics. And that's what we need to understand and apply, both that which is the letter and the spirit in our lives. They have to bear witness. Then the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated, which means we will be able to confront and overcome any problem that comes to the surface. Let's connect some of the dots. To begin, think about the single most important synonymous term for God that stands out with both Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. The seven terms, as a refresher, is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Which one of those seven did they prove by excelling it in every human way in order to become divine? Christ Jesus was attacked, and it didn't bother him. He healed the man that was arresting him, the ear that Peter had cut off. To get a clue as to how much hate Mary Baker Eddy tolerated, the day she passed on, they took her picture out of her own textbook. She labored from 1875 to 1910, continuously making revisions. The last revision was number 431, for a total of 432 editions of the book. They took down and destroyed every statue that was in her memory that was scattered throughout the Northeast. Including a pyramid that was made up of the largest piece of granite that had ever been mined or moved from the state of New Hampshire, which is the Granite State. Love. Love is the word. That's the synonymous term. They excelled above anyone else to that time in the expression of love. Do we want to be able to heal instantaneously, as did Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy? Do we want to be successful, no matter how long it takes, to heal any problem, then we need to follow their example. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important commandment of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love. Love is the greatest commandment of all. Love. What is the greatest way we can express love to anyone or anything, anytime? Whether it's expressing it as a contribution to an event, how can we do it? The Bible says we should tithe, which is means a tenth part, which means giving 10%. How do you want to interpret that? You want to do it on a D level? A C? The average person? I think that's what it's intended to mean, the average person. If you want to be a B student, you better be looking at a larger number. If you want to be an A student or an A+, if you want to get up to an absolute 4.0, probably need to be looking at 30%. Probably 20 for a B. Is money the only thing you can tithe? That's not the most important thing, is it? What are they going to do with the money? What do they need? What seems to be their lack? You can't sleep on money. You can't eat it. You can't be sheltered on money. I don't think it would last very long in the weather. For starters, you need food, shelter, and clothing. Because you can't eat it, you can't sleep on it, you can't have shelter from it. Certainly would be ridiculous clothing. The man that sold the steel company that became U.S. Steel, Carnegie, he was considered one of the wealthiest men in the world at that time. And after he sold the steel company to U.S. Steel, which was a conglomerate done through Wall Street, a lot of people, not a single man. He was a single man, but he sold it to a group. What did he do? He traveled all around the U.S., and the British Isles, and built libraries, university buildings, he didn't give away money per se, he utilized it and built what they needed. I know someone that came out of a department store, grocery store, one of these super stores, that sells everything from food to clothing to motor scooters, motorcycles, four-wheelers, cars. And he went up to a fellow that was leaving, just going to his vehicle on the way to, right, just had gotten to his vehicle, and he was asking for money. The fellow looked at him and he said, "Why do you need the money?" He says, "I got fired from my job and I haven't eaten in the last 2 days." He said, "What kind of work do you do?" "I'm a handyman. I can fix anything. I know electrical, plumbing, carpentry. I enjoy finding solutions to problems." The fellow had a list that he had been accumulating for, I guess it was 6 months. He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you an opportunity to take a look at my list that I have of repairs and see if you think you can fix any of them." He looked at the list. He went to his house and looked at the list. He said, "I can fix all these." He hired him for 3 months until he got them all done. And when he was done, the fellow had another full-time job. Yes, he could have just given him money and forgotten about it, but he was trying to find the solution to the problem. We need to go further than just giving money. Yes, we should be giving money. We should be giving clothes. We should be giving our time, our talent. We should be utilizing the intelligence that we are supposed to be reflecting and figure out the best way we can help somebody. We need to talk to them. Find out enough about them to know what the problem is. Being careful not to infringe on someone's privacy or personal life. So we need to be very careful. We need to develop a life of giving. That is the first thing we need to do if we're going to want to solve any problem that we have. We cannot be selfish and just think about ourselves. If we do that, we won't get anywhere. We have the example of Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. And I could give you a list of others. Wentworth Winslow, Joel Goldsmith, Frederick L. Rawson. All three of those had 15-minute appointments. And at the end of 15 minutes, they were ready for the next patient. I haven't seen anything published on how much time they did for their own study. But you can see very easily that there were probably thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people that were healed by each one of them. Frederick L. Rawson discovered how to treat back in time so that the healing took place prior to him ever being notified that there was a problem. He has a record of over 500 instances of treating back in time. Imagine what it would be like to have a healing effective when you first became aware there was a problem, but nothing was done about it until sometime later. Could have been 5, 10 years later. Mr. Rossin said the most important thing that we can do, and in fact he said this was our purpose in being on planet Earth, is to make other people happy. Is that a life of giving or what? That's a life of giving. Giving himself totally for the benefit of other people. So that's number one. To develop, cultivate, practice, and live a life of giving. If you're not willing to do that, if you don't see the value in doing that with what's already been said in this recording, then you're wasting your time with the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Because we promote following the example of Christ Jesus, Mary Baker Eddy, and these advanced students of Mary Baker Eddy. Enough background has been provided for you to already have some answers about the topic of this recording. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. Think about if you have a problem and you ignore it. It doesn't matter what it is. Anything you can think of. It can be an event. It can be a relationship. It can be food, shelter, clothing. Anything that is a problem will have this same characteristic. If it is ignored, it will grow. If it's nipped in the bud at the beginning, that's the easiest time to solve it. Mary Baker Eddy says we should never close out the day and leave anything unsettled. Don't go to bed with any friction with anyone that happened in the day. If there's a problem, solve it before you go to bed. Solve it before you end your day of activity. In fact, you should solve it as soon as it occurs, not wait till the end of the day. Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science as a result of her study of the Bible. Everything came from the Bible. That was her only source, other than the inspiration that she heard as if it was someone in the room talking to her, which obviously was the one and only incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. The God that is spirit, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and omniaction. Here's a shortcut version of what each of the seven synonymous terms represent. Mind is anything to do that is mental, thinking. Spirit is anything to do with substance. It's spirit, not matter. soul has anything to do with identification. We utilize eyes, ears, feeling, tasting, smelling. Principle is structure, system. Everything has to always be harmonious and in balance. Life, that's living. That's the activity. It's living the qualities of God. Truth, staying on track. Staying on the path of total integrity and making sure that our motive is wholesome and pure to benefit everyone concerned. No errors. That's the opposite of truth. And love is the opposite of hate. We are giving instead of taking. Giving instead of taking. I'm friends with a Christian Science organization. Been around a long time. They reproduce the weekly Bible lessons that were starting around 1911, going through about 1920, so about 10 years. And they send one of them out every week to about 2,000 people that said that they would like to have them. And I know the people there, and I ask the one that does the work, how much time does it take her? She said, oh, by the time that I figure out a replacement email address for them and so forth, because, you know, when you have, she sends out 2,000. So, you know, there's going to be some people in the group that are changing their email address. So even with a system that is set up that has all the data stored, still ends up taking her about 4 or 5 hours a week. I said, out of the 2,000, how many people send you a thank you? She laughed. She said, maybe one, maybe two, maybe none. How many send in donations? The same. Maybe none, maybe one, maybe two. $104,000 items sent out. And that's what she gets in response. Are you a taker or a giver? What are you thinking about all day long? Something to do with yourself? Or something to do with someone else to help them? Christian Scientists are not any better than anyone else. They're all thinking about themselves. We have a video on the website that's called How Big Is Your Problem? Just go to the menu. How Big Is Your Problem? It's about 3 minutes long. We did not make that video. That was made by someone else. But it would be easy to make one that says, how much time do you spend on yourself? out of the 1,440 minutes a day. That's right, 1,440 minutes in a 24-hour period. How much of it do you devote to other people? Probably none. Most people, 99% of the people, spend no time thinking about anything but themselves and things that have to do with themselves. They don't even think about their son or their daughter. Children. No, they're too busy. Okay, let's connect some of the other dots. You know what evil is? You know what good is? That's the opposite. Mary Baker Eddy says, the only power obtainable is from the good we do and embody. What does she say about enemies? She said, who is an enemy? Except someone you think in your own thoughts are an enemy. That's who an enemy is. You think about them in your own thoughts. They may not even know or think of you as an enemy. You're the one that creates the enemy in your own thought. Mr. Winslow says, think of yourself as being in a room, and he said this 75 years ago, so there weren't a lot of telephones. But he said, think of yourself as being in a room, and there's a telephone and a radio. And the radio is broadcasting only things about God. It's tuned into a station called KOG, Kingdom of God. And the telephone is ringing its head off trying to get your attention to make a suggestion of evil to you, hoping it can get its foot in the door. And if it does, it's going to somehow slither its way all the way in your consciousness, all the way in your door of consciousness. Mary Baker Eddy says, we should bar our door of thought like we would bar a door in our house against thieves and murderers. Because that's exactly what a suggestion of evil is. It's a murderer. It's trying to kill the goodness in our consciousness. It's trying to kill the goodness in our intentions. It's trying to murder it. The present President of the United States. Had several attempts on his life. He's done more good for this country than any other president with greater odds against it, against the success. And what do people do? Some people love him, but they're not as verbal as the ones that hate him, because he's producing radical results. They can't handle all the good that is happening because they've been so used to all the evil. when we had our last election, November 2024, we made a big promotion on our website for people to go out and do something to help get good people in the government to replace the evil ones. We spent a lot of time on providing treatments on how to treat your own thought, practical steps on what to do. People are thinking about themselves. They get lost in the shuffle. They don't realize that if they don't start thinking about someone besides themselves, they're not going to have any country at all. They're going to lose every freedom they ever had. They've already lost a lot of them in the last 4 years. With a man that's was not even in the position he was supposed to be. His name was being used, but they had 6 different actors that were playing his part. They never got in the White House, so they made up artificial White Houses for photo ops. And how did all this happen? Because good people did nothing. Evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And that's a generic statement when it says men. It means everyone. I saw a video where they had children that were about 4 years old in kindergarten or 5 years old, and they were jumping up and down saying, "I hate," and they had the name of the president. "I hate." The president that's done the most good for this country of any president that ever existed. "I hate." They were teaching him a song to dance. We know what evil is. We went over it in this recording. And you, by not even having anyone tell you, should know. Here is a movie recommendation. Murder in Coweta County. Murder in Coweta County. Coweta County. It's in Georgia. It's a true story. Been around a while. You've heard of someone by the name of Johnny Cash and another one by the name of Andy Griffith. We have a wonderful opportunity to be able to see how evil works in live motion. We can read about it in books all day long, but not until you are experiencing it can you really understand, and does it register like it does. You can't read about it, even seeing a movie is not as good as experiencing it, like we've been experiencing it, particularly the last 4 years, but really, ever since America was discovered. The founders said, "Here it is, we're giving you a republic, the Republic of America. Now let's see if you can keep it." Well, they had a right to be cautious when they made that statement or give us a warning, because that's exactly what happened, is we didn't keep it. We lost it a long time ago. How does evil triumph? If we don't do anything. The media and the social media have been responsible for us being censored. But what did we do about it? Over in Europe, they get up to 1 million people that will protest, march down the street in their big capital cities. What do we do here? Almost nothing. They're not causing violence in the protests that I'm referring to. And I certainly would not recommend any violence here. But we're silent. We're silent. There's estimates that we have somewhere upwards of 40 million people living in this country that came across the border illegally. 40 million. You could populate the several of the largest cities with totally illegal immigrants. The worst terrorists in the world come across our borders and stay here and get free food, shelter, and clothing and extra money for playing around. Do nothing and this is what happens. How much do you study, if you're a Christian Scientist, how much do you study Christian Science? A fellow by the name of Richard Strain was at the end of his rope. He was working 18 hours a day, leaving him only 6 hours for sleep, rest, and get ready for the next day. Eat probably dinner and then breakfast. So he went to a Christian Science practitioner and he said, I don't know what to do. And he told her the story that I just said. And she said, well, when do you study? He said, I don't have time to study. She says, if you're not studying 5 hours a day, you're never going to get anywhere. He was silent. He was stunned. Oh, me? I have to do something to solve my problem? I thought you were going to do it for me. She didn't say another word. She just said, if you're not studying 5 hours a day, you're not going to get anywhere. And she stopped talking. That was it. Apparently that was it until the end of the meeting time. She didn't say another word. He decided right then and there that nobody else was going to solve his problem, he better figure out how he's going to study 5 hours a day. So he finally didn't say how many minutes he sat there before he talked. He finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. At that time, he didn't have any idea how, but he said, okay, I'm going to do it. By the end of the week, I think that was a Monday or Tuesday he met with her, happened to be a woman practitioner. By the end of the week, he said that my schedule improved so much that I didn't have trouble with only sleeping 1 hour. I was able to sleep a more normal time, but he started out sleeping 1 hour a night. But by the end of the week, it improved so much that he could see how he could build it up to a more normal time. He had to make the decision. Americans are just really experts at procrastinating to the point where they don't ever do it. It's up to you. We can tell you what to do in order to be successful in solving any and every problem you have. We give you a detailed plan, and it works. If you don't think it works, read those last 101 pages. Our plan is more comprehensive than theirs because we've got tools available now we didn't have at that time. So if you want to let evil triumph, all you have to do is ignore it. Whenever there's a problem, just ignore it. Very simple solution. Very simple to answer that question. Letting evil triumph is the easy thing to do because we do nothing. But it's the most difficult to deal with the results because they grow. They get worse and worse and worse. And it will clutter up your thinking so you can't do other things. Is that the way you want to conduct your life? If you want to be successful in Christian Science, you should be studying time management. You should be studying how to read a book. Unless you're an expert reader, and I mean really an expert reader, you should start at the basics. The greatest pianists in the world exercise the Hannon exercises. Now, if you know anything about music, Hannon exercises are the classic exercise for everyone. Doesn't matter what kind of an instrument you play, including your vocal cords. Whether you're a singer, whether you're a pianist, whether you're a saxophonist, trombonist, Hannon exercises are what they use every day. One of the highest paid performers in entertainment music, not a classical pianist, but they do the same thing. But he told the public, he said, if I miss one day of practice, I know it. If I miss 2 days, the critics know it. If I miss 3 days, the audience knows it. What happens if you miss 1 day of studying? 2 days of studying, 3 days of studying. Your life will show it. What happens if you stop developing a life of giving? Same thing. Do you care about helping to solve their problem? Or do you just want to get rid of the problem you have mentally when you see someone that has a problem and you want to walk away or give them money fast and turn the other way? Are you going to be like the Good Samaritan, or are you going to walk on the other side of the street? I know someone that came out of a store one time, shopping, and there was a woman with a young woman in a wheelchair. The one was the mother, and then that was her daughter. And it was such a pathetic sight. She had no control of anything. You know, her head was just back at an angle, not moving around. Her eyes were unable to see. I mean, she was totally incapable of taking care of herself at all, period. Apparently, it was difficult to even look in their direction. He remembered what Mary Baker Eddy said. She said she was talking to one of her students, and she said, "What do you do if you're walking down the street and you see a stray dog or somebody in a wheelchair or someone else that needs trouble, or how about you witness an accident? What do you do? What do you think about?" Her student was silent. He couldn't figure out what she was even talking about. Why is she discussing this with me? So he was silent. So she said, "Are you a Christian Scientist?" He woke up. It was a wake-up call. Then he realized that, number one, he was doing nothing, but number two, he knew he better be doing the right thing. Somebody better be projecting beautiful thoughts about who they really are, not what they appear to be. What did Jesus do? Did he say, "Oh, that's too bad, you're blind, you're deaf, or you're dumb, you can't speak," or "Too bad you're a leper, too bad you passed on"? Is that what he said when they came and told him that Lazarus, his friend, had passed on? He took 4 days to go there to even talk to him about it. Jesus said, "Bring him forth." They said, "He's been gone for 4 days. He's going to smell really bad." Did Jesus say, "Well, that's too bad. I'm sorry I missed it. I'm going to go and try to heal somebody that's easier to do"? How about Tabitha? She was dead to belief. How about the man that was born blind? Did he say, "Oh, well, that's impossible to heal"? Mary Baker Eddy healed all of these same things. She healed every sickness, sin. She raised the dead. Bigdell Young, he raised himself from the dead. He was drowned. Read about it on our website. Wentworth Wendelow raised a boy from the dead. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Joel Goldsmith or Frederick L. Rawson did as well. We know what the definition of God is. We know what we are as God's image and likeness. But what does it say in Genesis? It says, Let us make man in our image and likeness. Let us. Are we opening our door of thought to God? Are we letting the light shine from the truth that is omnipresent? What are we doing? Are we just going to let things go down the tubes and do nothing? Are we going to do nothing? Are we going to let evil triumph? Are we going to be letting truth come to our door of consciousness and letting it in? Are we going to reject the problem and say, oh, that's too much of a problem, I don't know what to do? Or are we just going to pick up the phone and let the suggestion of evil come right in? Maybe we should love the evil. Did Jesus love the evil? Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." He overthrew the tables of the money changers. Are you in business? Are you a salesman? And you go to church to see if somebody there can be your customer? Well, if you do, it's a good thing Jesus isn't around, because he would throw you out on your ear. What are we doing? Are we a good man? Do we inherently try to make the right decision to do things right? Well, that's a good man. But are we doing anything to help the world? Are we doing anything to help America? Are we doing anything to help our children, our wife, our friends? Are we doing anything to try to solve a problem if we think we have an enemy? Do we have any talents that we can share with other people to help them solve their problems with our talents? And I don't mean trying to get a customer from them. I mean give them the services in an intelligent way. We need to use intelligence with everything we do. Intelligence is a quality of mind, but we need to do it with everything we do. Are we thinking about what is real substance? Are we thinking about that intelligently? How about how to identify something? Are we doing that intelligently or just accepting a material method? What are we doing with our seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling? Are we thinking only on a material sense or a spiritual sense? We give you the definition on our website of what the spiritual sense is of those five spiritual senses, the senses of soul. How about principle? Are we operating with any kind of a structure? Any kind of a system? Do we know anything about time management? How to manage our time? Do we know the value of knowing, recognizing criticism? Dr. Fluno was on an assignment by Mary Baker Eddy back around 1880 to go all over and lecture on the topic of criticism. Mary Baker Eddy stopped whatever she was doing every hour. She doesn't say how much time she spent on it, but I would guess it'd probably be at least 5 minutes. Every hour. Just to examine her thought to see if she was thinking in an ill manner about anyone or anything period. She cleared her deck every hour. How often do we do it? Do we ever do it? She was criticized and said that she was prayerless by the Zion Herald out of Boston. So she sent a reply. In fact, not to them, she published it in the newspaper. She went to the public. And she said, I pray 3 times a day for all humanity. For the benefit of all humanity, 3 times a day. She and Laura, her right-hand assistant in her home, she had 10 or 15 people living there. She was cultivating their knowledge of Christian Science so that they could earn the Doctorate of Christian Science degree, CSD. And she and Laura went to a furnishings place to buy some chairs for the house. And after the appointment was over, Laura said, Mrs. Eddy, you didn't say a thing throughout the whole appointment. You didn't seem to be interested at all in why we were there. And she said, Laura, did you see the problem that that man had? Apparently he had something that was very visible. There was a problem. She said, I was devoting my time to the priority. And he was healed. She kept right on thinking about chairs, but not Mary Baker Eddy. Are you a good person and do nothing? Are you satisfied with the condition of the country? Are you doing anything to change it? For starters, we teach you how to pray. We teach you how to treat it. We teach you the whole system. We have hundreds of MP3s. Hundreds. We put new ones out all the time. Are you grateful? Are you living a life of giving? How often do you express gratitude for Mary Baker Eddy if you're a Christian Scientist? How about all the authors in the Bible? The writers. How about the other expert Christian Scientists? If you read any of their works and you gain some inspiration, how about giving gratitude when you don't? You might be missing something, but that doesn't mean that they didn't put forth an effort. And if there are any of them on our website, they're very fine publications. Some of our publications you cannot get anywhere else. We're the only source. How much do you give to to any websites that you gain inspiration from and spiritual advancement. Are you giving 10, 20, 30%? How about of your assets? The Bible doesn't say only income. It just says tithe. Are you average? Were you a C student in school? Do you consider yourself just an average C student? That's a sheep. A sheep is one that just follows the crowd. Christian Scientists were known for having the highest quality of thinkers. If you've ever been on our website, you can't miss the fact that Einstein was a Christian Scientist. He said, "Science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind." He said, "Blessed art thou," referring to Mary Baker Eddy, with a capital T even, "for everything that is in this book." Talking about science and health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Everything that is, imagine that kind of a statement coming from a physicist. Everything that is in this book. And he also said, imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago. So he said that in the mid-40s, so he's referring to probably the date that Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science in 1866, or maybe the first edition in 1875. His friend, Dr. Underwood, was on the Atomic Energy Commission, and everyone on that commission except his friend passed on from radiation. And Dr. Underwood Dr. Einstein asked his friend, all these doctors, Dr. Underwood, Dr. Einstein, you know, they're all PhDs, although there have been some medical doctors that became Christian Scientists. But anyway, he asked him, "How did you survive?" He said, "I'm a student of Mary Baker Eddy. Christian Science is what I studied to solve the problem." And then Einstein really took a hard look at Christian Science. Before then, he'd heard about it, but he just kind of dabbled around it. And then he really took a serious interest in it. And after studying it, he made those kind of statements that I told you. How about Clara Barton? Clara Barton founded the American Red Cross. You ought to read on our website what she said about Mary Baker Eddy and Christian Science. It's all on our website, very easy. Just go to the menu and go to the authors. You'll see them all, and you can get right there in one or two clicks. Are you going to let evil triumph in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your neighbors, your business associates? How about people walking on the street? How about if there's an accident? What are you going to do about it? I just realized I didn't finish about the woman that was there with her daughter. Anyway, they didn't speak the same language. And so he was trying to figure out what to do about it. So he went up there. I mean, he didn't discover it until he went up there. Anyway, she didn't speak English. So he decided that he would give them some money for the moment. And then as soon as he left, he decided that he was going to take something out of Science and Health and print it in their language. And that's what he did. He took the... He first of all gave him a few thoughts, 2 pages of thoughts that he had written out that he thought would be a good introduction and to try to get her thought off of her daughter's problem. Talking to him about, or talking to her, offering her definition of God. A few things. And then he decided he had to get more serious. And it unfolded to him that he could just print out in Spanish the preface and the chapter on prayer. And then he realized that they're sitting there several hours a day and maybe they would appreciate having some refreshments. So he took them food and refreshments. Every time he goes there, he visits the area, you know, 2 or 3 times a month, sometimes once a week. She has a smile from ear to ear, and she pulls out, he gave it to her in a spiral binder, and she has it, she always has it out when he's there, and she points to various things on a page. So he notices what page it's on, and then he goes home and checks out what it was in English. She is so happy to have some sunlight shine on what must be an extremely difficult situation. Extreme. You see, Jesus didn't look at it as being an extreme situation. He immediately translated his thought to the spiritual idea of God and not someone that was an invalid with all the kind of problems, whatever they are. Are we going to be good men that do nothing? Good men in a human way, but nothing in the way of trying to help other people solve their problem? Then you're not ever going to be a Christian Scientist. Never. Until you change your thought. Until you change your speech. Until you change your actions. That's what you must do. Otherwise, you're just going to be a sheep. You're just going to be routine. And it's up to you. We can't do it for you. If you want to discuss something to understand how to approach healing something, you're welcome to call us, but we don't offer our services as a practitioner. If you have any question about Christian Science, give it to us. We have a message system, and if you put your number there, we'll call you. If you're in the U.S. or Canada. If you're not, then you need to sign up for Telegram, and we can talk on Telegram. It's a free service. Just go to telegram.org. I think it's .org. Maybe it's .com. But you'll see it there. It'll be obvious. And send us a message with your Telegram credentials, the name and phone number that you use, and we'll add you as a contact and we can communicate through Telegram. In fact, that's better than a phone anyway, because Telegram is encrypted and a phone is not. I am so grateful for Mary Baker Eddy and everyone else that were advanced students that I've learned from the Bible characters and their writings. Obviously, Christ Jesus at the top of the list, and Paul and other ones out of the Bible. I'd like to also suggest that you take a look at a book by Frederick L. Rawson entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. There's a section in there called Applied Treatments, in which he covers 1,315 different problems. And it's highly recommended you do not read that chapter from beginning to end, but only look at whatever problem you may be dealing with at the present time. Because you don't want to instill in your thought problems that are not a problem to you. You only want to deal directly with the problem that you're having, or problems if there's more than one. I will close with a treatment by Mary Baker Eddy that she taught to her class of 1898, which was her last class, and the one that she gave the Doctorate of Christian Science degree to each one that completed that. And she gave them one for each of the seven terms for God, and I will pick out one and read it to you right now. Since the emphasis in this treatment has been on life, I shall read the one for life. Diapason of Heaven with a focus on life. Life is holy. We must hallow this word, for it is a sacred name for God. Declare often, there is only one life, and that is God. There is no personal life. My life is God, an infinite, incorporeal, all-encompassing, all-present, all-active, everlasting life. Declare that God, good, is the only life of man and the universe. Life is divine. Divine life is my God, and my God is life. Life is enthroned in my consciousness. This is the Word of God. Declare all the truths about life. Claim this revealed life as yours. All of life is right where you are right now. Amen.